Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to settle the debate once and for all whether traditional or digital is better for your marketing.
Oh, is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, that's always what we're doing.
Okay.
And we all know what the answer is, so
yeah,
you won't
do,
admit
we
it,
do.
So it'll never be solved.
We do all know.
Digital always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're starting early in this podcast.
Yeah. Fighting early. Okay, so to kick things off, we actually have a guest today, and we're excited to have Greg Starr on from Carvertise. Greg, welcome.
Hello.
How's it going?
Great.
Happy Monday.
Happy to be here.
So, Greg, you guys offer something a little bit different, and you know, I invited you here because we met at eTourism Summit a couple weeks ago, and had some drinks, had some good times. And, you know, I don't normally get along with people who I think are part of the traditional advertising realm, but you seem all right.
Okay, just let it be known that Greg and I actually had known each other prior to you meeting him. Right, Greg?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Greg, you'll talk about what you guys do better than we will. So give us like the elevator pitch.
Yeah, high level. We place ads on Uber and Lyft and rideshare vehicles in targeted markets that destinations want to attract visitors from, right? So you might be a destination in Iowa and you want to advertise in Chicago, which is an expensive market, right? A lot going on there. You can buy a ton of options. You got your traditional buses, billboards, TV, radio. You have your digital options, but this is Carvertise, right? And so what we're doing is taking a trend, which is Uber and Lyft, right? That's growing. Taking a trend like delivery services like DoorDash and Grubhub, and we're creating advertising channels out of them where you can put your destination's message in a creative way on cool rideshare cars that are driving all around a targeted city. And because these cars are owned by like the people of the city, there's a lot of conversation that happens. So we give the drivers travel pamphlets to hand out to passengers that get in their car, or you know, friends that ask them, what's going on? Why is Iowa advertising on your car? What do they have to offer? So you can create a word of mouth component that kind of breaks through the mold of people talking about the ad instead of just felt like they're being advertised at. So it's a cool concept. We've started the company like 9 years ago and discovered tourism 3 years ago. And it's been a really nice journey, pun intended, since, I guess.
Well played. So actually, you do have a good origin story. Tell us a bit more about how you guys came to be.
Yeah, I mean, it was in college. My partner, Mac, came up with the idea and I was like, this is a really good idea and no one else would hire me. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll just work on this. And, you know, started off by taking part-time jobs, walking dogs, tutoring, all that stuff. And we just thought it was a really simple concept. We talked to small business owners who would swear by the fact that they had their own cars wrapped or their company truck wrapped. And like, they're like, oh yeah, it's the best advertising I've done. And so we're like, well, why isn't this a more common thing? So we started off locally in Delaware and, you know, just started kind of building up business with locally and brick by brick. And then as Uber and Lyft started to get more and more popular, we were like, what if we put, instead of just putting ads on everyday people's cars in Delaware, we were like, we offered to put ads on Uber and Lyft cars in markets across the country. And that's when, you know, things really started to take off.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's what I like about it is it's a very simple concept. Like it's ads on cars, ads on everyday people's cars. It's not like groundbreaking tech, although we have cool technology, but it's simple, you know?
Yeah, I actually think your product is super cool. I know we've talked a few times and you can even hit a lot of rural markets, right? That may not have rideshare options. I know you guys have that option to partner with certain local partnerships that you can do in areas that might not be as saturated with traditional media options, like Carvertise might be an option in some of those areas.
Yeah, we've done campaigns in places like Yamhill, Oregon, you know, like very rural suburban markets that are super hard to reach, inventory is limited, beach towns. Because we're like, you know, like wherever there's cars, there's an opportunity. So as long as there's people driving in that area, we can put ads on their cars and they can earn money for promoting, you know, whatever message that's on their car. So yeah, it's a great option for the limited availability kind of package. Hey, we need something new there. What are we going to do?
Yep. No, it's so cool. And for a lot of our small to mid-sized DMOs, I think that's such a viable and cool option, especially where like some cities don't have digital billboards or, you know, like some places just don't have, like you said, a lot of inventory. And I think Carvertize is such a cool replacement for that, that, yeah, you can wrap some cars and hit local areas, like rural areas. It's really cool.
Yeah, we were with one of our clients, Gulf County, Florida, and they said those exact things. They're like, we're a small DMO, but we want to compete in Nashville. And it's like, what can we do? And that's why they use us. And we have a great case study with them that shows a massive increase in visitation from 1 year to the next after using Carvertize. What we did is they were trying to target the music scene in Nashville mm-hmm. and get a really specific audience. So we had Uber and Lyft cars driving around. And then we sent the cars to like local concerts that said like, come visit Gulf County. There was a guitar, you know, creative on some of the cars. And it just attracted the right audience. And, you know, it was like five cars. It wasn't that big, right? I mean, a lot of our campaigns range between 5 to 50 cars, but small campaign, and it worked out great for them. And now they're coming back again next year. So yeah, that's exactly right.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, I'd love to hear more about some of your success stories and some of your main DMOs. Maybe give us like a small DMO success story and then a large DMO success story, and we can kind of look at, maybe our audience could look at what might be a good fit for them and how it might move the needle.
Yeah, I guess small success story. I mean, Gulf County's great. Also visit Cumberland Valley in Pennsylvania. I mean, again, it's like they're northern PA and they're competing with a lot of destinations where they're trying to pull people from Philly and DC. So they got a grant and they decided to kind of like just go all in with us. And yeah, they put 10 cars in DC, 10 cars in Philly. And I mean, it was just web traffic spiked. I mean, the keyword search was up 1,200% from the year before.
Wow.
200% increase in the website traffic to the URLs that they put on the car. So that was a great campaign. And they still are getting stuff like dribbling in, you know, months after it ended, based on the fact that all the drivers were handing out like pamphlets to the passengers. And it was good timing. But, you know, again, what makes a campaign successful, and, you know, Sasha, you'll emphasize, it's like, it's got to be creative. You know, like if you put a boring message out there, that's not compelling. It's like, we can only do so much, right? So what made this campaign great with Visit Cumberland, it was just like a beautiful car app and it was very enticing and it got people intrigued. Another one of our bigger clients is Visit Tampa Bay. And they do kind of seasonal advertising with us every year in about 6 to 7 markets. So it's like, hey, it's winter, come to Tampa. So we'll advertise in Canada, in Toronto, we'll advertise in New York, in Philly, in Chicago. And that's been a campaign we've been doing for the last 3 years now. And they're so advanced with the way they track, like they can track, I mean, like everything you can think of. And nice. So we're working. It's hard mm-hmm. to like, I'm not like, I know we're doing good for them because they keep coming back and like they've sent us some case studies and results cool. that help do it. But it's going well. I forgot to mention too, we also, bridging the gap between digital and traditional, we offer a digital component to our service too, which is being able to digitally retarget people that have been exposed to the ad. So if, you know, you've been exposed to an ad, capture device IDs of people around the car, and then you could send them digital ads to their phone. So there's that component also.
That's awesome. Yeah, I knew you had some tie-in products and I was just going to ask. I know you offer a little bit more just beyond the car wrap. So yeah, the digital ads. Advertising is really cool.
Yeah, dig into that a bit more because obviously that's what I care about. So how are you determining who has seen the car and where it's been and all that? How does that work?
Yeah, so every car is GPS tracked, and we work with a company called Streetmetrics to capture device IDs based around where the car is driving. And they work with Uber Media to get that data information. So yeah, we just match the GPS longitude and latitude of the cars with the Streetmetrics data, and then we can give an estimation of who's around the car at what point based on the device IDs in the area. And yeah, and then we just retarget those device IDs based on who's in a 30, 50 foot vicinity of the car that's driving by. And you know, the click-through rates are between 2 to 3% we found for the most part for these kind of digital retargeting campaigns, so a little bit higher than normal. And then we also offer a service that can track if those IDs go to a website. We put a pixel on a specific web page and we can track how many visitors went to a website that were in that the device ID vicinity who saw the car. So, you know, it's always hard. Like, how do you track? I mean, I bet you guys get that question all the time.
Never. Yeah. No one cares.
Yeah, I never get asked that in traditional media ever.
Yeah. So we try to answer that. But I'll tell you what, the good marketers, you try to track where you can. And this is where, you know, this funny, the debate is on traditional versus digital. Like you try to track where you can, but marketing, not everything is completely trackable. You know, there's something to be said about creativity and inspiring people and piquing interest and creating word of mouth. And if you build your marketing department around just only like everything has to be tracked, you're missing out on a lot of value that can be added. If you understand that, like there's certain things that building the brand, for example, like it makes everything else easier for you, you know? So I think the good marketers understand there's a blend that needs to be had in balance.
Do you hear what he just said, Josh? Did you hear that? No, thank you for saying that, Greg. Like you said that way more eloquently than I could ever say. I think that's what I always try to say. And you said it perfect. So thank you for pointing that out.
I'm sitting over here wondering how much Sasha paid you, Greg. No,
we're just two smart people thinking the same.
No, I agree. That brand component is really important, and it is tough when I feel like right now everybody's pushing for things to be trackable, and you're right, there's value that you just can't track.
Well, it's tough because on the marketer side, if they don't have the buy-in from their CEO, their organizational leader, it's hard for them because they have to justify everything they do with tracking.
Oh yeah.
So the running department the best they can, but the running department with the idea that like, because I have to track everything, I have to only do things that are trackable. Right.
Right.
So a lot of the times the marketer, they need the buy-in from the CEO who's like, I trust you. And I trust that like, this is the direction we want to go in where, you know, not everything can be tracked. Right. Because again, when you look only to do things that are trackable, you miss out on a lot of important tactics and, you know, ideas that can have positive effects for the destination or brand for, you know, the long term. But it takes trust and buy-in. That's something that the agency side, or at least for me, it's like we don't see that all the time. We don't know what that dynamic is, but that dynamic affects how marketing is done throughout the organization.
Yeah, it's super true. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like over the last like 5 years or so, DMOs, and especially now more than ever, have been pushed harder and harder to have full metrics behind how they're spending their money. And whereas before, I mean, people were fine with impression play based ads. And now we've kind of swung so far the opposite direction that DMOs are missing out on some of that they probably used to get.
Ad home is up though. I mean, you see the biggest companies in the world, Netflix, Apple, Facebook, our friends at Facebook, they spend a lot on ad home because like, and they're some of the smartest companies in the world. They know it. They know it works. Ad home's, you know, made a nice comeback since the pandemic, which was not great. But yeah, it's a medium that works. That's always been a little undervalued in my humble opinion, because there's just so much out there. But something you can see that can't be ignored is really powerful. You know, funny, I was having a debate at a wedding I saw one of our clients was at a wedding I was at, and he was like, oh, I don't know whether to advertise in the market that where people already know us, or out of the market where people don't really know us. And it's like, how do you know where to put resources in? And he's like, we advertise in market, but people already know us there. And I'm like, yes, but just because someone knows you doesn't mean that when you touch them again, it might spark a thought. You know, you can know what the brand is, but then you see another ad for it and you're like, oh yeah, I should refer someone to this. Like there's opportunities to cut deeper every touch point you have. Mm-hmm. And I like that story because it's an illustration just how challenging marketing is in general. Like it is not a science, it is an art. And you got to be on your game and be aggressive.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before in the tourism industry. You have to have quite a lot of touch points to convince someone to spend a lot of money and come to your destination and bring their family and stay 5 days. And, you know, whatever it is, it's just a larger sell. It's a larger conversion. And so those touch points are really, really, really important. And you can cut quite a bit deeper and, yeah, cause a return trip. And anyways, you're just asking for a lot in tourism from the visitor. And so it's important to take that into consideration.
So if I'm going to sum up what I've just heard from both of you, we're looking at frequency. Like a frequency of one or two is not appropriate, right? It needs to continue, like hit them over and over and over again. Am I summarizing that okay?
Yeah.
Not very eloquently, but.
We'll let Greg do the eloquent talking this session. Not us. No, but no, that's awesome, Greg. And one other thing I think is really neat about your product is that you can also be very targeted with like locations that you target and times of day. And I think that's something that's unique. I mean, we can do that a little bit with digital outdoor, but for out of home, I think you have a lot of really cool targeting options as far as just when your ad runs and where. So that's something that sets you guys apart, I think.
Yeah, a big like message that we like to say is like there's passive out of home and active out of home. So passive out of home is like passive out of home is great, but you just put up a location, right? And you get the people that drive by it. Active out of home is like we can swarm local events. We can swarm, football games. We could swarm, whatever. But you could send cars places where you know your audience is. And that's active out of home. It's like an on-demand mobile billboard combined with the everyday kind of glances that people get from just using street level transit advertising. So yeah, and that's a lot of what our destinations now are doing is they'll package in, hey, I want 10 cars, but I want cars outside of the Ravens Steelers game, when they play twice a year, right? I want cars here and here. And that's been a nice change to the product that's, I think, gotten to be much more effective.
Yeah, I love that. And so instead of hoping that your target audience drives by wherever your placement of outdoor is or out of home is, you're actually just going to the target audience right there and hitting them, which is so cool.
Well, I'm assuming if you're coupling that with something also a little more active of those drivers being knowledgeable about the destination and having materials that they can distribute to their riders, that just takes it even to another level.
Yep.
Yeah, man, we have some funny story. I mean, everyone talks to their Uber and Lyft driver, like you get in the car, you start talking, especially if you get into a wrapped car, you're like, what the hell's going on here? So, the pamphlets, we've got some good stories. We had a car in our Bentonville campaign, one person, was a big mountain biker. And so they decided to go travel to Bentonville. They didn't know that mountain biking was big there. We've got stories like that with Dutchess County of kind of people like, oh, I don't know, FDR Museum was there, like interesting, and stuff like that. And it's just from those conversations. It's from breaking through, but it's hard to track. Again, it's hard to, how do you track, try to get surveys and get stories like that, but it's like anecdotal, but like, it's great because it's working, but it's hard to pinpoint an exact data point from that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and my guess is that you guys are contributing to just overall web traffic, right, throughout the year. And there's other tactics at play there, but you're helping drive that up and an organic search. So, I mean, I think you definitely see some increases there, right, with just web traffic and people seeking you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds like from something you said towards the beginning that in some cases you're probably using like a unique landing page or something for those in-car assets.
Yeah, it depends. Whether it's a QR code sometimes or just, I don't know, sometimes we'll give out swag, just to like, here's a t-shirt, remember a spy. Sometimes it's, there's a webpage on the URL. I've always thought a great idea would be to like have someone get in the car and then text like a number to win a free, like a giveaway. So if it's like visit Alabama and it's car says visit Alabama, like text to win, they get in the car and then the driver's like, yeah, text this number. You could win a free trip somewhere. That's a sweepstakes where then all of a sudden you can get, a lot of emails and numbers that you can have on your mailing list, things like that.
I like that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I've always wanted to push that idea. No one's done it yet, but I've always wanted to kind of try that idea out.
Let's do it, Greg. Let's find
let's,
a,
let's do
let's
it,
find
Relic.
A client to do it. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Any of our listeners out there, you want to try that? Let us know.
So a little bit of an exercise for you, Greg.
Okay.
We're going to get a little weird here. So I didn't warn you about this.
Josh loves getting weird.
I do.
I should have warned you.
Yeah, you saw me at lunch with Adam. I was a little more reserved. Anyway, okay. So Sash and I, as part of our podcast, if you haven't listened to prior episodes, we have developed a fake destination that we like to apply different products and philosophies to help us like contextualize this a bit. So Our destination is Texaho. It's a combination of Texas and Idaho. It's based out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, but it's part of the states, the 51st state, if you will.
And I wish you guys could see Greg's face right now.
What is this guy talking about?
Okay, interesting.
And one of our primary target audiences are NASCAR-loving hipsters.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I need to get interest into, like, we've got a brand new track built out in Texaho. So we're getting a little bit of, you know, like, organic kind of PR there because people are talking about it. I'm going so deep down a rabbit hole. Okay. But how could we use Carvertize to expand that message?
Well, that'd be great. So another catchphrase I like to use, it's like NASCAR in the neighborhood, Carvertize, yeah, right? So nice. I think we fully wrap cars to make them look like race cars. And, you know, we drive around promoting, you know, that race there. And you'll get a ton of local buzz, you know, pick like a market near Idaho. Who's never seen something like this before. I mean, they're going to be like, what's going on? So I love it. Sign me up.
Okay. All right. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Cool.
So, okay. I'm remembering a question I had earlier. Tell me a bit about how you guys work with these drivers and how do you get them plugged in? And let's say we're talking to someone right now whose relative is also driving and might want to get involved in some way. How do you guys work with drivers?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. They just sign up on our website, carvertize.com. They just fill out their information. And then once there's a campaign in their area, we'll contact them. And we work with mostly rideshare drivers because that's what the clients want. But we accept all types of people based on the campaigns that are happening. But it's a very easy process. The drivers don't pay anything at all. And they just get to earn anywhere between, you know, $100 to upwards of $500 a month, you know, for different campaigns and things like that. So we also offer employees. I'll tell you something from an agency perspective. Let me tell you this too. No one's ever done this, but if you show up to a prospect that you're pitching for new business and you wrap your car in their destination or in their company, I mean, you'll get the business. They'll come outside, they'll see the car, they see you wrapped your car for it. They'll be like, oh my God, these people are so creative. They really care.
That is cool.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Make a splash.
Okay. So, I mean, as an agency, and maybe I'm sure you work with other clients on this. If they need to change out wraps for a new campaign or something, how painful or easy is that process?
Changing the wraps out, it's not painful. It just costs money. And that's the thing with our service is like, it costs the same to wrap a car for one day as it does for 6 months, right? So if you want to change creative every 2 weeks or so, it's like you're paying for a new campaign, essentially. So we try to like come up with a message that's either, hey, this is seasonally relevant or it's even longer relevant because you want to hit that market. But in terms of trying to switch out every like 2 weeks for new promotions, it's probably not the most cost-effective thing, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So from the case studies that we've talked a little bit about, like what is a decent flight? What would be effective?
I think like, I mean, it depends on the city, you know, but like, I think 10 cars is like the minimum I'd recommend. Although again, we've had successful at 5 cars, but like 10 cars is like a good starting point. 20 cars is like, you'll get a great coverage. And then anything above that is like, you'll get a lot of saturation in the market, you know, for really, you know, effective pricing. So, I mean, Visit Indy is one of our other clients. They put 33 cars in Chicago and got full coverage of Chicago. Campaign went great. They extended another month. They did digital as well as a part of it. But, I mean, Chicago is a big city, and it's an expensive city. I mean, one billboard in Chicago can be over 10 grand. And that's just one billboard, you know? So to get like 33 cars, you know, for that, you know, similar price range, I mean, that's pretty effective.
Yeah, I remember thinking, we've worked together on a few proposals, and I remember thinking how like affordable you guys were. I was surprised that I just expected higher rates. So I actually think you're very affordable. And like you said, it's a good option if you're looking at some of these larger markets, way more cost effective to look at Carvertize than to look at some of the digital outdoor or static outdoor that you might find just due to the rates.
Yeah, well, you're the expert. You know, you buy media all across the country, so.
No, you are, Greg. I have another question. I know you mentioned earlier just the creative messaging being a key to the success in some of the campaigns you've seen. And I'm curious, what is usually like the main message that DMOs advertise with you or destinations advertise with you? Is it just general brand awareness, or are there certain, like, are they usually like new attractions, or what is the theme behind the majority of campaigns you've seen be successful? I'm just curious if it's awareness based or if you're seeing something else.
It's a combination of both. A lot of times we'll advertise like breweries or, you know, aquariums. So there we can co-op with like individual like destinations in the destination, mm-hmm. and that's popular. But then, yeah, also it's just like a general branding tool, especially for the bigger ones. Like the bigger ones, like they have money aside for like awareness. Like they get that, like, and they can afford yep. to do it, you know. Smaller ones, like it's more of like, here, like come Bentonville, come for the biking, you know, stuff like that. So it's more message based on like the audience they're trying to reach, a little more niche. But again, it varies within the destination.
Sure. So a little more niche type messaging does well for some of the smaller destinations that you've seen then.
Yeah. And there's one other thing too we're used for, which is to advertise at conferences. So if there's like a big meeting planners conference, for example, or some sort of like B2B place where destinations are trying to get like business professionals, this will be like a short flight, like a 4-day flight where we just have cars swarm the conference and drive around the venue and pick people up there. So you're getting really targeted, but so they're not really focused on leisure travel, but they're focused on the business side of things. And that's what you get for, that's another way kind of destinations are using us to try to promote more business travel and meetings.
Cool. Yeah, that's a creative way. I hadn't thought about that yet. I love that idea. Nice.
Well, Greg, I think you've answered all the questions I've got. I think I'm appreciating your place in the marketing funnel. And I, as much as I give Sasha crap for top of funnel tactics and her traditional things, I think this is actually a really cool thing that you guys have got going on here. Is there anything that we haven't talked about, you know, for our DMO marketer listeners that... that you'd want to touch on?
I think just it's important to look at rideshare as a thing to talk about as you're looking at like, you know, your RFP and your plans. Like, I mean, it's only getting bigger, right? Delivery, Uber, Lyft, like, you know, especially with like the public transit, especially trains, like it's at an all-time low in terms of like, you know, travel. Like people aren't taking the train anymore. I mean, I think 80% of people use rideshare services in one way or another at this point, whether they're ordering food or taking Uber and Lyft. So it's just something to be aware of as like kind of you're continuing to plan out your stuff is what's our approach to that population.
Yeah, it's a trend that if you haven't thought about before, you should be thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know I didn't before this conversation or before we met a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks, Greg.
And Relic
for your
Rocks.
Time.
That's what I also want to say.
Thanks, Greg. Hey.
Smart, great people.
Thanks, Greg. We look forward to doing more work with you, and thanks for filling us in on everything you guys are doing. I think that's it for today. So Sasha, you want to tell people where they can find us and follow us?
Yes, you can find us on LinkedIn and Instagram and even TikTok now. And so watch at your own risk, but we are on TikTok.
Excellent. Love it. Love TikTok.
It's fun.
We're not pros. We're learning. At TikTok. We're learning. Organic content, we should say.
Don't judge us too much. All right. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good
thanks,
Greg.
Thanks, Relic.